Hey everybody, welcome in to Speak Up. My name is Barbara and I have so many questions for my guest today because he and his team always have a lot on their plate. And on any given day, they may not know exactly what they may have to deal with by the end of the day. The word emergency is operative, the operative word right here, Bonner County Emergency Management. This department, my guest is the director. His name is Bob Howard. So we have a lot to cover today. So interesting. We're going to go to our first commercial break right now, do a little business, and we will be right back with Bob Howard.
Did you know that your risk of a shark attack is 1 in 11.5 million, but your risk of developing prediabetes is 1 in 3 adults? That 1 in 3 could be you, your favorite brother, or your other favorite brother. At Kiniksu Community Health, we know that life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. Prediabetes does. Don't sugarcoat the truth. No one is excused from prediabetes. Talk to your provider about your risk for diabetes or prediabetes today. Learn more at kchnorthidaho.org.
Considering a new career? Alta Forest Products has the perfect opportunity for you. The world's largest manufacturer of wood fence boards, Alta Forest Products is currently hiring for their Naples, Idaho mill, offering one of the highest starting wages in North Idaho, as well as life, medical, dental, and vision insurance, and a $500 signing bonus. No experience necessary. Join the Alta team now. Alta Forest Products in nearby Naples, Idaho. Go to jobs at altafp.com.
Runs it off the right side. He's in. Touchdown, Idaho. The Vandals go to the bag of tricks one more time.
Celebrate 50 years of the P1FCU Kitty Dome with six home football games as new head coach Thomas Ford Jr. leads your Vandals against St. Thomas, Utah Tech, Northern Colorado, Portland State, UC Davis, and Idaho State. All six starting at $162 at govandals.com.
Throws to the end zone and is caught. How about that? Touchdown, Vandal.
You need parts? O'Reilly has parts. Get one free set of brake pads when you buy two brake rotors. Upgrade to Brake Best Select pads for just $10. Or upgrade to Brake Best Select Pro or Import Direct pads for just $20. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Gain a global perspective and specialized skills that many of today's top employers are seeking. With an MBA from University of Maryland Global Campus, study online and complete your degree in just 16 months for about $21,000. Choose from MBA specializations in global business, marketing, HR, finance, and more. No application fee if you apply by September 3rd. Learn more at umgc.edu. That's umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome back and join me. Say hello and welcome to Emergency Bonner County Emergency Management Director Bob Howard. Bob, I know how busy you are. I'm so grateful for you here today with us in our audience.
Thank you for inviting me here today. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I usually like to start off to let you introduce yourself to the audience. People kind of like to know who they're listening to. What's your background and how did you get to where you are today?
Well, I'm a native of Bonner County. I grew up in Priest River and started my journey over there. And then in 1989, I joined the Bonner County Sheriff's Office as a patrol deputy, and by 1997, I transitioned into the role of an assistant emergency manager. And in 2000, when the emergency manager at the time retired, I was appointed that as part of my sheriff's duties. And I was also the liaison for search and rescue.
Those were back in the days. Well, it's still true. You wear a lot of hats. And I think you still do.
I do. So and then over the past 36 years, I've been with Bonner County. I've served as director of 911 and EMS. And today I'm the director of emergency management and the director of solid waste for Bonner County. And I work for the Bonner County commissioners.
Right. You report to them.
Correct.
Well, the thing that we were talking before we went on the air, I talked about you and your team and how well respected you are. But you told me you have a team of two. And so that's just when everything is quiet. What happens when something happens?
So there's three of us. I'm the director of two departments. I have a planning and preparedness coordinator. And then I have a fire mitigation program manager. So those are the two paid staff. And I have a group of about 50 volunteers.
Wow.
So when things occur, if there's an opportunity for to use volunteers, I use my volunteers in those roles because we train them and make sure that they're ready to deploy for a mission that they're qualified to participate in.
That's amazing. So approximately 50 volunteers, and you train them. So who are you looking for more volunteers, and what kind of qualifications are you looking for in these volunteers?
Volunteers, it's, you know, just the way, well, volunteers are compassionate about serving, just like, you know, we are. Just someone that's committed to volunteer. We have a program, it's called the CERT program, Community Emergency Response Team Program, and that is actually a FEMA course. It's a 24-hour course. The volunteers go through that. It's everything from emergency first aid to search and rescue and all sorts of different things that they would respond to. And we train a lot of those. We put on about two classes a year. Some people become volunteers. Some people we train and they just go back to their normal lives, but they can use that in their normal lives.
Sure.
At home or, you know,
in
their communities. Yes.
Yeah.
So our goal is to make our county more resilient by training our community members to help take care of themselves during an emergency.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so much gratitude for these 50 volunteers. Are you looking for more? Are you always interested in kind of building up that number of people as people come in and go out?
We're always interested in more volunteers.
And how did they do that? They contact you at the Bonner County Emergency Management?
Yes, they can go to our website. We have website information, and they can contact us there.
I have to say, you have an unbelievably complete website. You have got so much listed at that website with links out to so many different places. But if you just keep looking, and I don't think you have to look very far, I think it's over on the left hand, you'll just find there's a contact number, a number to call.
And also, we have our emergency communications volunteers. They're amateur radio volunteers, so they're part of our volunteer group also. So they do the amateur radio emergency service for the county. So that's, they're different from the CERT, but they all work together.
So when regular phones or cell phones go down,
yes,
you guys can, and all the other responders,
yes,
can communicate. Well, you mentioned about this training twice a year, which is wonderful, because these volunteers and you and your team need to be able to respond. I was looking at a list, and I don't even know if I got the complete list, Bob, of all the various hazards and risks that you would be called on, along with maybe other, and we'll get to other organizations. But I've got on my list, and I'll just list a couple, and then I want you to expand. Avalanche, civil disobedience, earthquake, flood, food interruption, hazardous materials, and then it goes on, landslides, severe weather, wildland fire, and utility outages. But number one, I'll start you off, according to your list, was hazardous materials. That's your number one risk that you're aware of.
Correct. And we support the responders on a hazardous material incident. we're not the initial responders. Typically, it's the fire department.
Okay.
And so we support them in their efforts in that response.
So they would call you if they felt they needed you and some of your volunteers to come in, depending on what happened.
Correct. And typically, a volunteer would not respond to a hazardous material because of the type of incident it is, because of the hazards. We are the point of contact for the Idaho Office of Emergency Management, so they have a hazardous material section, so we help coordinate them and the first responders on a hazardous material incident. There's a lot of different moving parts in that hazardous material response.
So, yeah, I think this whole coordination thing, even if you're not actually on the ground, because it just comes to mind, you see hazardous waste being, they have suits, they have masks, they are protected, however they need to be.
Right.
When was the last hazardous waste response that happened in Bonner County?
There's different levels. I mean, I think the last one that we assisted with was an airplane crash at Priest Lake a few months ago.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not aware of that, whether I missed it in the Daily Bee or what. Was it reported?
Yeah, but I don't know if it was in the Daily Bee.
Okay.
But
was it a hazardous waste because of gasoline? Or
it was a hazardous waste because of the potential leak. They crashed into the lake that wasn't leaking at the time.
The fuel. Leaking. Gotcha.
Correct. But if you go to remove the plane, there's a potential of a release of fuel because of, you know, disturbing the plane and things of that nature. So we help provide the booms that we place around the plane, around the scene, to keep that fuel contained if it were to release.
Okay, like inflatable things. Walk us through, I know that, you know, you can choose the level of detail, but walk us through, like, okay, the plane crashed, who were the first responders, how did you get called in, and how did they finally wrap it up did people survive?
Yes.
Okay,
people did
good.
Survive. So the fire district of jurisdiction typically arrives first on a hazardous material incident. And the Marine Division arrives because it's on the water. They do what we call a bridge call. The bridge call is an area. It's in Boise. Everybody calls the bridge call. You get the incident commander of the scene. You have DEQ, Idaho Office of Emergency Management, EPA, all the different players on the same call. So the incident commander explains the situation, what's going on at the scene, and what needs they have. And then that's where they make decisions on how to guide the incident commander to proceed with that response and the mitigation of that response.
And who perhaps may, additional support may need to be brought in.
Yes.
Or it's not maybe perhaps assessed to be that you've got the people there to handle it.
Correct.
So how did they get the airplane out of the water?
They actually hired a contractor to come in and remove the plane, I believe, in the next day or so, I think it was.
Like a big, like, tugboaty thing with a crane winchy thing?
Yes.
I know all these technical words, Bob, you can tell.
So, that's what they did on that particular incident.
And so FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, how is it that it crashed? Did you ever hear what actually happened?
I don't get involved in that part of it.
Okay.
Probably the sheriff's office, they do the accident report with the Marine Division, so they have all that information that's in their in their wheelhouse. So,
well, I'll call them and find out and bring them. Thank you. At least I heard about it through you. All right. So hazardous waste materials. I would have guessed that wildland fires were the biggest risk concern. I'm sure it's right up there at top. So let's talk about that. What happens when a fire breaks out? And this is wildland. This is not like in a fire district where we've got Sagal Fire and Selkirk and Sandpoint, but this is outside of those parameters, right?
Yes.
What's the response on that?
So I'll use the Sunset Fire for an example that just occurred. The fire started the 911 center dispatches the fire district of jurisdiction. And depending on how big it is, you know, they'll request the Idaho Department of Lands to respond. And as the fire grows, if there's more resources needed, the 911 center will dispatch those resources. But if it becomes a situation of evacuation, then they call us. We will set up a reception area for evacuees. And then if it's determined we're going to need to open a shelter for longer term, then we will arrange for that shelter to be opened along using the Red Cross. And then we contact the fairgrounds and the fair director to make arrangements for any type of evacuated animals to be located there. And so, and then in this particular fire, it was got big so fast. There was a trigger that allowed us to apply for a fire management assistance grant. So, and that has to be applied for during an active fire. So we applied for that grant 11 o'clock that night, and next morning it was approved by FEMA. We went through the governor and went through FEMA. It was approved. That grant will allow relief for, like, Selkirk Fire. You know, they ordered additional equipment for structure protection. There's it's 75% FEMA, 15% state, and then 10% local match. So that's a substantial...
Local match is Bonner County Commissioners?
Well, in this case, it was Bonner County, or it would be Selkirk Fire. Because they were... So what could be, you know, a $200,000 order of equipment is, you know, $20,000 to them.
Yes.
So, that's a huge savings, and it's not a that big burden is not on their budget. So
that's excellent. What an absolute correct use of taxpayer money. I mean, that to me is exactly what we pay our taxes for, whether it's local, state, or federal, to respond to these needs and support that. Staying with Sunset Fire, just for before we get to the fire itself, and if you can give us what today's status is. So were animals actually evacuated to Bonner County Fairgrounds? Was it used, and is it still in use?
It was used. As of today, the evacuee Red Cross shelter is closed. And the animal shelter, the fairgrounds, is closed because there's no more animals there. So things have settled down really nicely.
So people have got their animals and they're back in safety area.
Yes, and then, you know, the fair, we're very fortunate to have a fair director. We have, he even during the fair, he made room for evacuated animals in at the fairgrounds because, you know, we try not to disrupt the fair because that's a community event.
Exactly.
So, but he made room for the animals and segregated them away from the fair functions.
And I think people were taken into Sagal Elementary School and Kukulala Bible Camp. And did people were there for like some number of days?
So originally we opened the Sagal Elementary School as a reception area. But knowing, looking at the fire as it evolved, we knew there's going to be some more additional evacuations. So we got a hold of the Red Cross. We started at the Sagal School, but then we moved over to the Kokola Bible Church because long-term, the school is going to be occupied the next week by teachers. So before we got a larger number of people, we relocated the shelter to the Kokola Bible Bible Camp in the gymnasium. So... And that's where the shelter was open up until today.
And how is all of that paid for? For cots, water, food? I mean, who provides and what's the reimbursement, if any, for all that?
So the Kokola Bible Camp agreed to, I mean, there was no charge. They just, you know, it was a community effort for them. And the American Red Cross pays for the food. They pay for, they have a trailer. They bring in cots, blankets, and things of that nature.
Okay, yeah.
They bring the volunteer staff. We had one volunteer staff member there. He was there from Seattle. He came up to staff that shelter and be part of this process. So there was no cost to anybody for that.
That is awesome. And the, I don't know, does the American Red Cross get taxpayer dollars? I know it's donations. They're always asking and needing donations. But do they get?
I don't know.
Because I don't know either.
I've heard hear rumors of it, but I don't know. I can't confirm that.
Yeah. Okay.
I do know they do ask for donations, and if you can donate to the American Red Cross for your county only. If you choose to donate to them, you can designate it for Bonner County.
That's really good to know.
And that way, you know that money is going for Bonner County.
Yeah, maybe not all of it. I'm sure there's some overhead money that is taken off. But okay, that is really good to know. Well, we're up against our next break, Bob.
Okay.
We're going to take that break right now. Stay right where you are. We have so much more information coming your way.
At University of Maryland Global Campus, we give our students credit where credit is due. Credit for deciding in the middle of rush hour traffic to go back and get their bachelor's and a promotion. Credit for managing 3 kids, 2 dogs, and a full-time job to pursue an MBA. And credit for serving in the military by day so they can study cybersecurity at night. For over 75 years, we've been helping students receive the credit they deserve. With more than 135 degrees and certificates, students at UMGC can use prior learning or relevant experience to earn up to 90 credits toward a bachelor's. And graduate students can transfer up to 12 credits toward their master's. At UMGC, you'll find everything from online to hybrid courses and lifetime career services to scholarship opportunities, making your education journey flexible, fast, and affordable. No application fee if you apply by September 3rd. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Hey, Joy. Oh, you are glowing.
Oh, hey. More like Mira Joyed. That Miralax helped me go. I was so backed up. Tried mega coffees, prune juice, everything. Then Miralax. And hello, gentle relief without the harsh side effects.
Ooh, how does it work?
It works naturally with the water in your body for constipation relief. Find Miralax today at Walmart.
Use as directed for occasional constipation.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. If someone talked you into buying something really silly, and you want to get out of that silly little thing, my advice, get the facts. Call me, and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit absolutely free. Inside, you'll learn how timeshare works and all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit information kit. 800-761-0000. That's 800-761-0000.
Paid for by Wesley Financial Group.
Sound familiar? At Mattress Firm, we understand there are many problems, like snoring, aches and pains, hot sleep, or even an old saggy mattress that can keep you up at night. And our sleep experts have the unrivaled know-how to match you with a mattress that can help. And now, you can upgrade to a queen mattress and adjustable base for just $499.99. For the great sleep you deserve, visit Mattress Firm. We make sleep easy. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Hey everybody, welcome back in to Speak Up North Idaho. My guest today is Bob Howard. He is the director of Bonner County Emergency Management, and I love this topic. I am learning so much, and I hope that you're tuned in and you're enjoying it. If you're missing or unfortunately need to miss because you're getting out of your car or whatever, there will be a recording of this program available maybe Thursday sometime. You'll be able to come back to our website at northidahoradio.com, and you'll be able to listen to a full recording of my interview with Bob Howard. All right, Bob, let's stay with Sunset, the Sunset Fire.
Okay.
First of all, what's the current status?
The current status, the fire size is total acres is 3,230 acres. It's 42% contained as of today, and the number of personnel on the fire, 643.
Wow. Can you break that 643 down? I mean, Land management, Selkirk fire.
So it's they ordered a complex incident management team, which is those are the folks to manage the fire. And they come with 80 overhead folks to manage the fire. They have logistics, they have planning, they have fire behavior specialists, they have a very large specialized trained staff to help manage the fire. So,
and manage them.
And manage
the people that are actually on the ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and they bring in all sorts of different resources. It could be Forest Service, Department of Lands. They could bring folks from the other states. We've had folks come in from Canada in the past years. When it comes to wildland fire, it's everybody shares resources when they're available. So,
I interviewed several years ago. It's interesting. I just ran into this person at church on Sunday, a fire jumper. He's retired now. Did we need any fire jumpers at this fire because of the terrain? And
I don't know that for sure. Typically, air support will take care of most of that, I believe. But again, I wasn't there on as far as the operational portion, so I can't answer that accurately.
Okay, so it's 40% contained. Does that include this? I mean, is it still burning toward the lake, or pretty much that's one big firewall is Lake Ponderay? So 40%, how do I understand what that 40% contained means?
I don't have the exact answer to that, but I do know they do have a line around the entire footprint of the fire itself. So
40% of it's secure.
Yes.
What I'm wondering is a part of that 40% the security of the lake, or is that what we're not sure of?
I don't have the detailed answer for
okay.
that.
All right.
I don't want to speak to something I don't have the answers
okay.
for.
Okay. Well, you can call me and tell me, and I'll tell my audience next week just so they'll know, because it would be interesting to me to understand. You know, when you say it's 30% or anybody, there's a big fire. A friend of mine's parents are over in Redmond, Oregon, and there's a big fire there, and I think it's 30% contained. And I was thinking this morning, like, well, what exactly? Is that 10% here and there? Or is that a full 30?
Right.
Anyway, that's the way my mind works,
okay.
Bob. I get into the weeds. Another thing I'd like you to comment on, and this is a rumor. So just heads up, everybody, this is not reporting something, but asking. There have been rumors that the Sunset Fire was set, that it was arson, and another rumor about seeing people throw lit flares out, and maybe that started it. Have you heard any of that? Is any of that true? What's going on now to investigate the genesis of this?
I have no idea if it's true. I do know that they have several fire investigators investigating that fire as we speak. So I'm sure at some point in time the outcome will be made public, I suppose, to the community.
I have a follow-up on that, and that is, okay, is it normal to always have fire investigators in at this point of a wildland fire, or is there something there that they are a little suspicious or concerned about, and that's why they're there right now?
Unless there's an obvious start that's pretty clear, they typically always have a fire investigator investigate that.
Excellent. That's really good to understand and know, because the last thing we want, not just here on our show, because we are so proud that we talk about, you know, what's true, mm-hmm. and that people can trust the information that they hear, is that that's the normal thing when you're not sure that they know how it starts. So it's normal to have the investigators there.
Okay.
Okay, let's look at some other risks and hazards that you or other entities and organizations deal with. What about avalanche?
Avalanche is under the Sheriff's Office, our search and rescue organization.
Okay. And they work with, I'm sure, Schweitzer Search and Rescue. They're probably the first ones on the scene.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the other one that was on a list I saw was civil disobedience. Now, that would have to be more than a little march down First Avenue, but who handles that when it gets bad?
That's law enforcement.
That is law enforcement.
It could be the Sheriff's Office, could be Sandpoint Police Department. Whatever jurisdiction that occurs in.
Okay. What about landslides or mudslides?
landslides and mudslides if it impacts our critical infrastructure, like our county roads and things like that. We work with the Road and Bridge Department. We'll do a damage assessment. We'll, depending on the level of damage, the amount of the cost, then we would do a disaster declaration to the commissioners would sign a disaster declaration, and we would send it to the state of Idaho. And what the declaration does, if we just do a local declaration, that opens up the budget so money can be a little moved back and forth. So if they had to hire a contractor, if under a declaration, they don't have to go through all the bid process. They can just go and hire a contractor to come in and make repairs.
Okay.
If it's a state declaration, it'll go to the state. And if the state declares, the governor declares on behalf of the county, there could be, they could do a 50-50 match as far as helping with the cost of those repairs to the road.
And the county would still be the ones in the hiring position to, you know, bring in whatever, you know, trucks and,
yes,
you know, graders.
Correct. You just
have to get the dirt out of the way.
You just have to track forced labor time, truck time, equipment time for any type of reimbursement process.
You know, this is a tough question because it's like memory. I have trouble putting things on the calendar sometimes. But when was the last time we had? It seems like there have been a couple of mudslides up in Boundary County. Over, you know, it just seemed like they have. But when was the last mudslide or landslide, rock slide? I know sometimes comes down on Highway 200 in the Hope area that you can remember.
We experienced minor rock slides, mudslides, you know, sometimes every year, depending on the
depending on the
snow and the melt and the warm rain, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That usually dictates, you know, if a mudslide occurs or rocks fall off the cliff onto the highway. Smaller events like that are common.
Another risk, another hazard, and I don't know, I didn't even think about some of these. What about severe weather that would, take out power, start fires with lightning? I don't know. Just severe weather can, even in our area, can get severe.
So, yeah, severe weather is, it could be, like you say, fires, it could be snow, could be anything. So, you know, that's where we encourage people to be prepared in their homes to take care of themselves. If they have generators, things like that, have emergency plans and equipment in place to take care of themselves for a period of time until, you know, the power company can get the power restored,
right,
things like that. If you have a really heavy snow and then you get rain, make sure that you get your roof shoveled off before it gets too much weight and prevent it from, you know, caving your roof in, things
like
that.
We experienced that, I don't know, 20 years ago, something like that, when the roof at one of our schools caved in.
Yes.
And everybody, a lot of people were up on their roof very wisely shoveling off. Well, if you could guess, what percent, I know, don't you love these questions? If you could guess, what percent of the population in Bonner County are prepared? To a certain extent, what you just talked about, they've got either a generator or some kind of a power source, they've got water, they've got food, they've got a plan.
I can't even guess how many. I mean, we teach it, we preach it. It's really hard to say. Some people you can teach them and give them instructions and directions. Some people follow it, some people don't.
I am so guilty as charged. I'm calling you if there's an emergency.
So to that point, in October 4th and 5th, we have every year, this is the 10th year, we have the Panhandle Preparedness Expo at the Bonner County Fairgrounds.
Oh, yes.
It's a two-day event, and we bring in all sorts of vendors, and we bring in speakers and classes for the community. It's for them to come in and, you know, just take advantage of the opportunity to learn how to be prepared.
October 4th and 5th, is that a Friday, Saturday, or a Saturday,
Sunday? Saturday, Sunday.
And can you actually buy things there? They'll have those big buckets of food,
yes,
that lasts for 20 years. Will they have like generators on sale?
They could have. I haven't seen the vendor list yet, but typically they'll have the food, probably have the food buckets there.
Yeah.
Emergency food. We've had generators
containers,
there in the past.
Bigger containers that are good for holding water and keeping it clean and safe.
Water purification systems, things like that. So,
All right.
It's a pretty big event. It's well worth attending if you're interested in being prepared.
Exactly. And we all need to be interested in being prepared, especially those of us that are not. So October 4th and 5th, again, this coming October 4th and 5th at Bonner County Fairgrounds. That makes me think real quick, and then we're going to take a break. You have a counterpart in Boundary County. Of course, we're broadcasting in Boundary County. Who is the emergency manager director there?
Andrew O'Neill.
O'Neill. And so do they do a prep expo, or would they be invited coming down to ours?
I don't believe they do. I mean, we invite everyone.
Everybody.
We get people from all over different communities that attend our expo.
But especially shout out to our friends in Boundary County that are tuning in, that this is October 4th and 5th and would be of great value to them, all of us.
Absolutely.
All right, we're up against a break. Can you believe this is our last break? We're going to take it right now.
It's time to hit the open road, so make your first round trip to Specialty Auto Glass to get your windshield in tip-top shape. Heat, air conditioning, road vibration, or even closing your car door can cause the smallest rock chip to suddenly spread across the entire windshield. Specialty Auto Glass technicians are certified and abide by the AGSC standard and can recalibrate your car's safety features. Stay safe this summer with a visit to Specialty Auto Glass off Highway 95 in Ponderay.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/getscreen. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Come by boat or car for unforgettable waterfront dining. Pearls on the Lake in Hope is now open 7 days a week from 12 to 8. Enjoy a fresh new menu, tasty cocktails, and live music on beautiful Lake Ponderay. Visit pearlsonthelake.com to reserve your table today.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. If someone talked you into buying something really silly and you want to get out of that silly little thing, my advice, get the facts. Call me and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit absolutely free. Inside, you'll learn how timeshare works and all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit information kit. 800-761-0000. That's 800-761-0000.
Paid for by Wesley Financial Group.
Hey, Joy. Oh, you are glowing.
Oh, hey. More like Mira Joyed. That Miralax helped me go. I was so backed up. Tried mega coffees, prune juice, everything. Then Miralax. And hello, gentle relief without the harsh side effects.
Ooh, how does it work?
It works naturally with the water in your body for constipation relief. Find Miralax today at your local retailer.
Use as directed for occasional constipation.
The NFL is back with 4 days of football. The 2025 season starts on September 4th with NFL Kickoff presented by YouTube TV. Catch Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys take on Jalen Hurts and the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in the first game of the season. Then get ready for a weekend full of unforgettable moments. NFL Kickoff presented by YouTube TV. September 4th at 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Go to watch.nfl.com for the full schedule. Brought to you by FanDuel, an official sports book partner of NFL Kickoff.
Sound familiar? At Mattress Firm, we understand there are many problems, like snoring, aches and pains, hot sleep, or even an old saggy mattress that can keep you up at night. And our sleep experts have the unrivaled know-how to match you with a mattress that can help. And now, you can upgrade to a queen mattress and adjustable base for just $499.99. For the great sleep you deserve, visit Mattress Firm. We make sleep easy. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, Hey, everybody, welcome in. We've got it going on today with Bob Howard. He is the director of Bonner County Emergency Management, and he has got two hats. One is emergency management, and the other one is solid waste. We're totally not going to get to solid waste, you guys. We are running out of time here. Bob, thank you so much for being here. This information is just so interesting to me, and I think tons of people out there listening don't really know these details. So we kind of been working our way through a list of the hazards and what the responses are, and one is drought is an area of hazard in our area, and for sure the last couple of years. What's going on with that now?
So as of today, I mean, we're under a severe drought. And a severe drought is defined as it's characterized by significant dryness and water shortages that lead to impacts like crop and pasture losses, increased fire risk, and common imposition of water restrictions. It signifies a severe lack of rainfall and water supply. So it affects both natural systems and human activities such as agriculture, energy production, and public health. So that's, I mean, it's...
So we're in a severe drought. Now, here in the city, I'm in the city now, but when I was in Hope, we had our own separate water system coming from a spring. So
yes.
What are the water systems that could be affected now by this drought? And they're really restricting water. They need to be thinking about it.
Well, I mean, if you get water from a spring or a stream, I mean, it could all be affected. It just depends on how severe it is.
Right.
We're not extreme, mm-hmm. but we're severe. So,
okay.
You know, hopefully, not knowing what the winter brings, we can get a little better winter, a little heavier snowpack.
Mm-hmm.
Will help our drought situation.
Have you looked at any reports on the upcoming snow for this winter? And does it look like, I saw one, but I think it was talking about caterpillars or something. I wasn't sure I could believe it, that we may get a higher than normal amount of snow this year.
I've seen a lot of different posts out there and information. Typically what we do is we have a local emergency planning committee that meets once a month,
mm-hmm.
and we invite the weather service in. We'll invite them in probably in the fall, September-ish, and then they'll give us their forecast for the winter, what that will look like, whether it's La Nina or if it's a neutral weather pattern. So that's kind of how we look at what's coming to us as far as weather.
So I know La Nina and El Nino. Which is the dry one and which is the wet one, La Nina?
I think La Nina is the wet one.
The wet one. And
El Nino.
I know.
Yeah.
It's, you memorize that stuff, but you read it, and then what you're reading explains it to you.
Right.
So I don't have to remember that stuff. All right. Well, that's it. But it could, or it could be neutral.
Could
you know,
be.
Where we're really not in a transition. All right. Well, that'll be coming up in the fall. We'll be following up on that. Another is food interruption was another risk and a hazard. Do you have any, does your team deal with any of that?
Not really. We don't deal with that a lot. I mean, there's really no, you know, we don't have the resources to bring food in. We just depend on the grocers and, you know, this Idaho Emergency Management, there's the state office, they have contracts and agreements with larger food vendors or providers to bring food in those types of disasters. So it's a higher level than what the local jurisdiction.
Okay.
Would be.
All right. That makes sense. The last one is flood. You know, I've been here in North Idaho, praise God, for 40 years, and it seems like a couple of the homes, and one we built, were on a quote-unquote floodplain. Well, I don't know that I've ever seen a flood ever any place. So are we in danger of floods, or what could cause it?
I think since we're probably in severe drought, the likelihood of floods probably is not on the top of our list. But yeah. Again, it just depends.
But it's on the list.
It is on the list. It just depends on the winter
okay.
and what that looks like. If you get Yeah, if we get deep frost and get a lot of snow. And
the rivers can come up, the lake can come up a little bit.
It depends. If you get a warm day and a lot of rain, the snow is going to come off fast.
Yeah.
And it just, there's a lot of variables that can cause a flood.
I know in Hope there are a lot of streams coming down those mountains down to the lake, and they have, that's true. They have kind of gone over their banks. I don't think any structures were involved, but you never know. Boathouse or two.
1 year, Strong Creek flooded really, really bad, and it took out the water, city water system for the city of East Hope.
Mm.
It got really pretty bad.
I'm sure I experienced that. I just don't remember it.
Probably 96, 97 was the worst flood that I can remember.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. I was just down a ways from Strong Creek. On the lake. All right. I have people want to know how they can help the firefighters. How do they donate? How do they say thank you and express their gratitude?
So on a fire like Sunset, the fire camps, they're not allowed to accept donations of food and physical items. They are provided for. They have caterers, they're pretty strict about that. I think probably the best way to do that, to support your local firefighters, maybe go to your local fire districts, if they're taking donations.
Make a donation,
Just big signs, thank you cards. I mean, things that they can see that shows that you appreciate what they've done.
I really like the idea. I know that a couple of our fire districts, if not all of them, had levies, and some of them or all of them didn't pass. And so I understand that, but that does not mean that people don't appreciate. So if you feel moved, I like that idea. Go to your fire district and make a donation, even if it's small. Don't take cookies.
Yes.
Take some money and donate, and a thank you card goes a long way.
Absolutely.
I have one last question. You have 1 minute for this one, and we'll hit it again. I'm going to have you back, I'm hoping, in November.
Okay.
Everyone I talk to, first responders, law enforcement, Idaho State Police, we talk about stress because it's real. You have 50 volunteers. How do you teach and help them deal with the stress?
We teach part of our volunteers. There's a section we teach about stress. If we have a situation where people get stressed, there's a critical incident stress management that we can put volunteers and employees through. It's a process on how to help them talk about what they've been through and kind of help take that stress off from them and help them manage it.
Mm-hmm.
If that was to occur.
It's a good thing. It is not an embarrassment ever, if it was, Humpty Dumpty years ago. But stress is real, and everybody functions better when they're not under stress or they're being helped to manage it as time goes on. I can't believe it, but that's it. We are out of time. I am so grateful, Bob, for you being here. Thank you so much to you and your team and for all you do for us.
Thank you very much for having me today.
Absolutely. I have another quote from our founding fathers. I'm all about America 250. If you don't know what America 250 is, please Google it and celebrate America. Bob, here's a quote from George Washington. I thought about you and your team when I read this. It is, quote, "Perseverance and spirit have done wonders in all ages," close quote. That's what you guys are doing. You persevere, you have great spirit, and it does wonders for us. All right, next week, Janine Shepherd with 7B Care Clinic will be here. She's going to update us on all of the services at 7B Care Clinic, and they have a big fundraiser coming up in October. Don't want to miss that. So next Tuesday, this is Barbara reminding us all to slow down on the roads and on the water, to love each other, and God bless America.